We're going to go to John chapter 14 this evening. John chapter 14. He texted me this morning and I just happened to have something ready. That's the Lord at work, surely, because if I had not, I would not be anywhere close. Today was a very fast-paced day. We're going to go to John chapter 14 and we're going to be starting in verse 27. Something that is often touched on, and it's also the subject that's most avoided in a lot of areas of religion, is a subject matter that we talk about in conjunction with a lot of other subjects. But we're going to try and narrow it down this evening. I'm not used to preaching in the evening much. But it is the topic of fear. Fear is something that we generally engage in every day, particularly if you go anywhere on the road. The most popular thing, of course, is to complain about driving. Why do we complain about people's driving? Because we know how to drive better, of course. So what's the second reason? Because anything they do that we wouldn't do startles us, scares us, and we become overwhelmed with fear of what they might do next since they don't drive exactly like we do. Another secondary point is that if anybody else does something that should not be done on the road, it generally instills fear pretty well. Fear is an emotion that is very hard to avoid in everyday life because fear is not only thought about, but is also mongered by other people. A lot of times when I get up here, I talk about the peace of God or how great it is to rest in the Lord. We tend to overlook this easily sought after emotion, or rather not sought after, easily inflicted emotion of fear. Fear is something that's used to sell as well as motivate. Many people sell medicine, vaccinations, food, products, and oftentimes doctrines using this emotion of fear. But how does the Bible generally deal with fear? Again, we're going to go ahead and dive into John chapter 14 and start in verse number 27, and it reads as such, "Peace I leave with you, and peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So, to be afraid is to have the emotion of fear, but it's more than just a startle. It is to be overwhelmed and ruled by that emotion, fear, be it in a moment or in a lifetime. To live afraid is to live choked by fear. So when he says to let not your heart be afraid, this is more than simply don't let it be scared in situations, but rather don't let it be choked up. Don't let it be taken hold of by the emotion that is fear. Why do you think fear is such a present emotion in the world? If you look back in history, you notice how this country was founded, how the martyrs acted, and how battles were fought, that fear was not an emotion that was touted much. It was an insult to be called a scaredy cat. Because fear was not something you kept around, because fear was something that generally you overcame in your everyday life and you carried it throughout your lifetime where you just weren't afraid. They went off to battle afraid, but they were not controlled by that fear. They were controlled by a higher purpose, which was the purpose of the war, which is why they went out and won in World War I, II, Civil War. You go on and you can go throughout history. The reasons we don't win wars anymore is because we are too afraid. The reason the economy collapses so often is because everybody is afraid. They are ruled by the emotion of fear. The investors, the stock market, the economy all crashes because they're scared of what is to come next. That is stirred up by mere words with even no actions to back it up. It's because this emotion, fear, is so prevalent and is growing as we go through our days. Just look at the pattern of how things are going. The only way things get worse is when men become afraid. Why is that? Ask yourself what fear is. Jesus here has spoken a lot about the Comforter and the Holy Ghost and the purpose of him sending it. Read the previous 26 verses. He talks a lot about the promise of the Holy Spirit and the Comforter, and then follows up with this point of let not your heart be afraid. The Comforter is for our benefit alone. That's one of the things the Holy Ghost is sent to do, is comfort and alleviate fear. Why do you think he eliminates fear? Do you think God is ever afraid? Obvious answer is no. Do you believe that Jesus was ever afraid? Obviously no. So why do we teach people that it's okay to be scared? Why do we tell our kids it's okay to be scared? It's okay to fear this, to be afraid. Is it really okay? Something I'd like to point out about fear, I'm going to point a couple things out. The first one is that fear is a construct of the devil and the world we live in. Fear means a strong, often unpleasant emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. A strong, often unpleasant, I would dare to say always unpleasant, emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. That is the definition of fear. So, how many times in the Bible does God say, fear not? Well, if you, I actually went on so far, I did a little search, and then I said, you know what, there's a lot of different instances, let's see what these other guys have to say. So I went online and found these really popular people and saw what they had to say, and I have anywhere from 5 times to 365 times. Their opinions differ greatly. And then one guy says it's never 365 times, this guy's exaggerating. So now you even have the professionals arguing over how many times God says, fear not, in the Bible. I say all that to say this, do not go online to figure out things about the Bible. It doesn't work. I did that to prove a point, point proven. You're welcome. Think about the situations when God said, fear not. In fact, you could probably name 8 times or more off the top of your head that it started out with, fear not. Any message from God come to man started with fear not. When they announced Jesus' birth, they said, fear not. When the angel appeared, I can't remember his name. I had it right on top of my head. Now it's gone.
Gabriel.
What did he start out with? Fear not. So whether you're saying 5 times or 365 times, I think the message is severe, is very clear here. Before God's message could be delivered, fear had to be eliminated from the situation. There were never a situation that fear was involved in that God could use. We're good now. We'll say it again. There was never a situation that fear was in that God could use. Because fear is a worldly reaction to what could be a glorified situation. Something that we don't really understand is that fear in and of itself was never meant to be. Fear actually came when they disobeyed God. Why do you think they were hiding? Hide and seek hadn't been invented yet. Maybe it had been. Okay, that's a supposition. Maybe it had been. But that's not what they were playing. They were hiding merely because they were afraid. Because they know they had done wrong. So it wasn't what God was going to do with them that made them afraid. They were afraid because they knew they had done wrong. 9 times out of 10, fear will only overcome you when you know you have done wrong.
Yes, that's very true.
So to guard your heart against the wrong is something that ought to be absolutely prominent in your life. So what is fear? What does fear do to your heart? First of all, fear eliminates your focus. Without focus, you often don't remember the situation, what you were told, or what you are to do next. When somebody comes to you and they're freaking out and they say, "What do I do?" And you say, you sit down and say, "Okay, calm down. Step one, calm down. Go do this, then do this, and then go over here and do this, and you know the situation will be taken care of." They go, "Okay," and they run off and they do the first step, and you never hear another word because they never finished the process. So they come back and you say, "You remember that situation I came to you about? And you told me to do this?" And I say, "Yeah," and then do this and this. "Okay, well, I didn't do this and this." It absolutely eliminated your focus, and the instruction you were given was not received correctly. That is not a clear next step when you're scared. There's no clear path. There's no clear anything. You're just grasping at anything to give you relief from your fear because you've let it take hold on you now. Fear eliminates focus, which is damaging to the kingdom of God, because your focus should always be to further the kingdom of God, to learn more of the Bible, to work on yourself, add to your faith, like we're talking about in 2 Peter. All that is the focus of the Christian life. But that focus is eliminated if you let fear become a factor in the situation. Think with me of something in your life that's happened. If you're anything like me, you got plans, and this is what you do every day. This is your routine. This is what you do. You get up, you go to work, you do your work. Who knows what's going to happen? You come home, you eat supper, you do school, and you go to bed. Anything in between there that's kind of crammed in there kind of makes me freeze. I'm like a deer in the headlights. Now, I can understand why deer stop and stare at cars, because their plan was to cross the road and here comes something bright. I would most likely do the same thing, just stop. And I wouldn't even think to run. I'd be like, "What do I do next?" You have to readjust and reconnoitre your mind and just absolutely do anything. But if they let that absolutely get captivated by that, to the point where they don't do anything at all. It's the same thing in our lives. When something sudden happens, something severely unexpected happens, we freeze in our life. And the longer you stay still, it's just like a boa constrictor, the longer you stay still, the more that thing's going to wrap around you, and the more that thing's going to squeeze, and the more that thing's got a hold to you. Fear acts the same way. The devil tends to use fear because it is something that's not perceived as his tool, but rather is perceived as a learning tool in God's arsenal. Why do you think God took fear out of every situation in the Bible, but now we use it as some sort of super Christian tool that we can be fearful and still love God? It's totally counterintuitive. But what it does is the devil can use that. That we're okay with being scared. That we're okay with being fearful. That we're okay with teaching our children that it's okay to be scared and to stay scared. Something I've tried to tell Lucas, I said, is there's nothing to be scared of. And here's how you overcome it. That's what you got to teach them. You don't teach them that it's okay to be scared. You teach them that you have something that eliminates fear. We are coming up upon the wonderful, debatable time of Halloween. Well, debatable, because now everyone's going to debate why my kids don't go trick-or-treating. I've got a whole new batch of people in the dealership that don't know my kids don't trick-or-treat. So I'm sure it will come up. And the ones that do, I'm sure will want to dig that skeleton, pun intended, back up. So there is a wonderful, quote-unquote, wonderful time, they say, where your kids can go out dressed up and be scared. And it's hilariously fun. That's what they say. This is how Halloween is projected to everybody. That being scared is funny. Scaring other people is funny. And that it's okay. But if you need anything else to believe that it's the devil's holiday, is that we have based this holiday around nothing but scaring children and instilling terror into their hearts.
Right. Agreed.
But Christians can do it and it's fun because trunk-or-treats scare nobody. The advent of automatic tailgates should be enough to scare anybody with trunk-or-treats. We have got this down to a science, to where Christians can trick or treat and dress up, and it'd be scary and funny, and that we can watch scary movies on the television because we got sweet candy to bribe them back into our good graces. This is wrong, and it is absolutely destructive to their hearts, and we wonder why our children are going to the devil, because we have taught them that being scared is fun, that being scared is awesome, being scared is great in this time of the month. This time of the year, this one month right here. We put up scary decorations. We glorify being scared. We yell boo. There's decorations in Cracker Barrel that run around and scream at you. It's amazing. But it's not. And we show them that's just funny, and we make light of it. Because if you can make light of one thing, and that's the devil's tool, the one thing into your heart, then you'll generally make light of anything else he can use to get into your heart. Mm-hmm. It's just merely a wedge in the door, and if you think I'm blowing it out of proportion, that's fine. But I'm not. It's a wedge in the door to your children's hearts. And how we don't do any out of our way wedging for the Lord Jesus, why do we do that for the devil?
Yeah.
Fear is not funny. It eliminates focus. Your children are no longer, they are now unbridled candy-eating brats during that time of the year, because fear dismantles good sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When you come around the corner and yell boo to somebody, generally you get socked in the face. Why do you think that is? Because in their moment of adrenaline-filled fear, they just do the first thing that comes to their head. You are unbridled. First thing that comes to your mind, you do. That in and of itself, the no restraint, should be a clue to you. Fear eliminates your focus. You don't see you coming around the side of the doorway yelling boo. I see somebody coming at me screaming, I'm going to sock you. Sorry, not sorry. Your own fault. Don't scare me. How can you focus on what you're told to do next when your heart is afraid? This is something that is induced by shock. This emotion triggered by a focus on what is wrong with life or the situation. This just merely makes you okay with being off focus all the time. When you're allowed to be scared, allowed to have fear in your life, to learn to deal with fear, it merely allows you to be okay with being out of focus. No focus, no help. Because you can't talk sense into somebody like that. Secondly, it eliminates your vision. Who knows the difference between focus and vision? All right, if I take off my glasses, evidently there's a spider web in there. If I take off my glasses and I really stare at somebody with my eyebrows furrowed, 3. No, it's a 2. If I really focus, I can tell why it's holding up back there. But I have no vision. Absolutely not. Vision is long term. Focus is short term. You lose your focus, then in the short term, you get nothing done. If you lose your vision, you get nothing done in the long term. There is no planning for the future in the present because you're not looking to the future. You cannot see the future. Now, before anyone takes off with that, I know we can't see the future. I'm not advocating mediums in here. Yeah, because I'm kind of a large anymore. But we can absolutely understand what the future is. And it doesn't matter the present circumstances because we can focus on the future that has been given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. The future of eternal life. We know the end of it. But if we lose our vision, and we don't base our present actions off of our future that the Lord has given us, that we can see, that's in the Bible, that is set in stone, we will derail completely. Trains going from point A to point B don't derail because they can't see the destination. They know where they're going, and so they continue going that way. But if they were to take a wrong turn, but if they were not to brake at a certain turn, if they were not to accelerate or, you know, work the way trains are supposed to work. I don't know how many people here have studied locomotives. They are just like a car when going around turns. They brake, they accelerate, they have to do these certain things. They have to switch tracks depending on where they're going. But you see, they only do that because they know where they're going. They know where the track leads, you see. But they have to control the train on the track they're on to get to the other side of the track that they know they're going to. But if they were to absolutely lose their minds and just do whatever they wanted because they've lost where they are going, they would take a wrong turn, they would brake, accelerate at the wrong time, and there's a possibility of completely derailing that train. They don't know the load they're carrying. They have to understand how many cars they got, if they're losing, if they're gaining, what's pushing, what's pulling. There's so much that goes into a train ride. I would love to travel by train just once. I totally missed out. I don't believe I was born in the wrong era because God knows what he's doing. But if he can do anything for me on the new earth, I would love a train ride around New Jerusalem. I probably won't care at that point, but man, I sure do right now. Fear is often short-sighted in a very low constitution, yet we credit it with so much destructive capability because we let it. You see, it's nothing but our own undoing that fear is. You see, most times when fear dismantles a life, it's not so much the action of fear, it's the reaction to fear because we allow it in our life. I hope he's going home. Never mind. Just a little bit of fear will blind you, and you wander around, you run into stuff, which only grows your fear because then you feel like you don't know what you're doing, what you're going, what's happening. Until you focus on Jesus, there will be no peace and no fear. You see, the psalmist gave us a really good piece of advice here in Psalm 56:3. He says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Yep. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, "What time I'm afraid, I'm going to sit down and pray and think through my fear and tell, you know, it's okay to be afraid because God knows everything." It's not okay to be afraid because God knows everything. It's okay to drop your fear because God knows everything. We almost put stock in that God knows everything, and so it's okay for us to do whatever we want. Because whatever we do, it's almost like a total and complete predestination believed upon by the Calvinists, where they believe no matter what they do, it's going to happen. If they go off and do this, it's going to happen. If they go off and do this, it's going to happen. They discount the free will that we're given by God, which almost takes it completely out of our hands to follow him in anything, because whether we like it or not, we're going to do X, Y, Z.
Yep, exactly what it is.
So why are we here tonight? Fear is not an excuse. Fear is something you allow into your life. So if you are sitting there and you're saying, "Lord, I am so afraid, but I trust you," it's more like saying, "Lord, I would trust you, but I'm afraid." Fear eliminates your vision that you don't know anymore. We think it's hilarious when people show videos of this guy getting scared out of his mind and running into a building, a wall, or post or something. Now, it's pretty funny. But his reaction to getting scared is what caused that pain. Because I don't know what he thought he was running to, but he ran into something because he was very short-sighted in what was in front of him. Because as soon as you look at that video and you see him get scared, you say, "Oh, he's going to run into that wall." You already know what's going to happen because you're not in that situation. You know what's going to happen. He completely shut off from the situation. Do you see what I'm getting at? You're absolutely getting rid of God when you react in fear. You're not looking to him, you're not giving to him, and you're not learning of him in that situation. Number three, fear prevents understanding. When in a situation with fear, there will be little to no understanding of what's going on, just like that gentleman running into the wall, which introduces confusion to the mix. God, of course, is not the author of confusion, making the situation even more volatile. God wants you to understand what's going on and lean on Him during these hard or scary times, but that can't be done when fear is a primary emotion driving your ship. Everything that fear does is not an attribute of God, but is an attribute of the devil. And until we recognize that, life will both be hard and confusing. When you are scared and you have learned of God and you understand that God knows all, so there's no point in being afraid, then the fear dwindles away. The peace comes over your heart. The comforter is there. But when you don't allow that, you just let your fears of fiscal ruin, of physical damage, reputational suicide, just whatever you name it, whether it be physical, mental, monetary, anything like that, collapse, you can let that overwhelm you. But there is not one song or one verse that gives peace, because even though they're scared, they know God knows all. Unless there's some other CCM out there that tells that, which I hear a lot at work, where even though they're scared, their God is bigger. Obviously, they don't believe that, or they would not be scared. It is the fear that creeps into your mind and distracts your mind. It completely clouds your focus, eliminates your vision, and will ultimately take control and prevent any understanding. Because when you're going through a situation that involves fear, there's a lot to be learned from that situation. God will never give you anything more than you can handle. Fear is doubting that verse. Fear is the elimination of understanding that God knows all, that He holds the world and you, because you are on the earth, not on Mars, in His hand. Remember brain trash? You completely brain trash every piece of truth you ever knew and just start thinking up your own ideas. Because fear does nothing but think up your own ideas. And when your own ideas come into play, plenty of confusion comes with it. If you don't stop yourself and take hold, grab hold of the reins of your mind, I say that a lot, and understand and captivate every thought and say to yourself, is this really what God would have me be doing right now? You think God looked down in your bank account one day and said, whoop, I forgot He was going to overdraft today. Whoop, yep, I forgot about that one. You think He ever did that? No. Now, does it ever happen? Yeah, probably. But should we worry about it? We ought to manage our money better, probably. However, God is not completely left you in that situation. Even if it was your own fault, you must learn from that situation. Otherwise, you're just freaking out. And get-rich-quick schemes don't work.
Nope.
So, you might ask, is fear sinful? I would say no. But the reaction and the results of allowing sin into your heart is. It's just like temptation. Temptation is not sin. Giving in to temptation is sinful. Just like being scared, being feared of a situation is not sinful. But when you allow it to capture your heart, take your focus from God, and completely break down what should be you and God time, that is sinful. How can you follow God while letting fear eliminate your focus, cloud your vision, and prevent understanding? You can't learn from a situation if you're constantly afraid of it. Something that I think is super interesting is the way we have taught kids that school is terrible.
Yeah.
School, of course, is the epitome of learning. Maybe it's been rotten teachers, maybe it's been bad experience, whatever you want to call it, but school is not a bad thing. I don't believe in living your life in college just to do one thing that's not going to make you any money. But school is not a bad thing. My biggest fear about going back to college years ago was going back to school. Because when I was growing up, school was a laborious thing. Because learning was a laborious thing. Because we had other stuff to do that was fun. I am not going to say that learning is always fun. But if you choose to hate that situation, you will learn nothing. And you have wasted your time in your life. And we tell kids lies like, and the devil said, let's put letters in math. Let me tell you why we villainize mathematics and algebra. Here's a shameless plug. We villainize this simply because mathematics and algebra do nothing but prove the balance of a creator. They do nothing but prove the existence of God. Because everything involves mathematics and every reasoning will come back to yes, no, a straight answer. Which evolution obviously does not have a straight answer. Mathematics simply proves this. So, if you teach your kids mathematics and algebra, the principles of 0, 1, yes, no, results, no matter how long and hard there is an answer, is a biblical principle. And we villainize that because the devil wants your children. Shameless plug. There it is. It's the same thing. You make them scared of math, you make them scared of God and the Bible. You may not love math, but you have to learn it. But see, we do that with all areas of school. And now we've even villainized English. They can't even speak it anymore because they refuse to learn. Using all these acronyms and shortened sentences, no punctuation, and people are like, why? I can read it just fine. I said, because you're dumb. Because you're scared of learning. You'd rather adapt your mind to these watered-down, dumbed-down versions of what you call English than learn the principles of speech, of writing. But we've done this with everything, with spelling, with cursive, with history, with science. I'm getting to that. Once you eliminate the building blocks of English, science, mathematics, history, and whatever fifth subject you want to throw in there, you eliminate the principles of life. And we're scared of learning them.
Yep.
We're scared of school. We dread school. We love video games, which is artificial. So now, because we have bred so much fear and anxiety of learning, they refuse to learn. Do you know how many people get on a site called Chegg.com and pay $20 a month for the answers to all of their tests? I'm not kidding.
Yep.
I could use my lunch money every month and get every answer to every test I ever take. I've been in school for 3.5 years and just discovered this. Helping you out, bud. But see, there are students in this private group that email, mass emails, and give you this link and say $20 a month and you'll pass this class with flying colors because somebody else did the work. And now you've got the answers. Because we're scared of actually learning it. We think that we get this degree, we'll get a really good job that pays a lot of money, and we didn't have to do a thing but pay $20 a month for 4 years. This is why we have doctors that you never see. This is why you have dentists that pull teeth that don't need to be pulled. And this is also why our school system is failing us miserably. You too, for $20 a month, can be worthless. Have a worthless degree in a worthless workforce and be worth $1 million. All because the devil has created a society that's scared of everything. They're scared of viruses. They're scared of learning. They are scared of medications. They are scared of being over-medicated, under-medicated, and right there in the middle. They're scared of cars. They're scared of electric cars. They're scared of gas cars. They're scared of trucks. They're scared of buildings. They're scared of building anything. They're scared of wood. They're scared of metal. They're scared of cities. They're scared of countries. They're scared of cows, wolves, you name it. Somebody is scared of it. Fear runs rampant, and it has eliminated the industrial side of society. God is industrial. God's people have always been industrial, and they are not anymore because they are not God's people. God's true people do not live in fear of an electric car.
No.
They do not live to brawl about a charging station 20 miles from you. It's just not the way we live. If that's what happens and we all have to drive electric cars, I've met one of you that would say, I'd rather keel over dead than drive an electric truck. Fear breeds confusion. Fear breeds rebellion because they are scared of everything they don't understand. And they will not understand anything because they are scared of everything. No understanding will breed in the lifestyle of fear. You cannot have it both ways. Verse 27 simply says, peace I leave with you. Do you think that meant just then? No, he's speaking to a lot more people than I think we've ever given him credit for. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not only has he left it, but he gives it. You think he gives it just then or situationally? That may be a word, I don't know. He gives it to you in every situation. In 2035, if all of us are still here and living, and the government has everything the way they want it, they'll say the next car you buy, if you buy it brand new, has to be electric. And you're not going to be able to say, well, if you tell me that's what I'm going to buy, I'm just not going to buy it. All right, go get a horse. Who knows what they'll be outlawed by then.
Yeah.
Is that a situation to be scared of? No. I mean, if they're telling me I have to stay home, I ain't fighting them. There's no victory outside of peace. It says in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isaiah 41:10, in which there's a lot of this in Isaiah 41, but it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You have to rely on him and his righteousness. Because what is fear except for relying on what you can do right now? We are 2 years displaced from 2020, where the popular method of panic buying was running rampant. Why do you think people panic bought? Evidently, they have a lot more money than they thought they did. But they were buying stuff because they were afraid that it would become no longer available. Because somebody in some Apple News article said, go buy this because it's about to run out. And somebody in the tissue paper industry said, man, this warehouse is so full, I never know how we're going to get rid of all these. And they said, I have a great idea. I got a reporter I can call. And so all of a sudden, they sold out. Through the roof, whoever owned that stock, smart guy. No situation is hopeless as long as you focus on who hope is. We say it a lot up here about how there is no religion outside of hope. And there is no hope outside of Christ Jesus. Anything outside is pretty dire, and that's what musters fear. Relying on what you can do for the situation. That's why people run after preachers and church members for comfort, because they simply don't know what to do with their foggy, clouded mind of fear. During the pandemic, churches were let out everywhere, but you know how many viewers their online streams had? They had a lot. They had more stream members than they did church members, because they were looking for something, anything, to get them through this. They want someone to tell them that it'll be okay, but with no idea really why. You must remember to encourage these people in Christ, saved or unsaved, and they'll accept or reject it. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen.
This is because this is what we have. If you truly have Jesus Christ in your heart, then this spirit of fear that eats away at your heart, mind, and soul won't tarry. It won't be allowed to tarry. Because what drives fear away? Glad you asked. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear." And whose love more perfect than the Christ Jesus? Because fear hath
torment.
Yes. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. The perfect love of Jesus is the cure to this condition of fear. It casts out and allows peace into our heart, and it cannot be combated in any other way. What's so wonderful about knowing Christ is knowing fearlessness. It's knowing peace, and it's knowing understanding. Are you fearful today? If you are, what are you fearful of? And that doesn't mean you're sitting in the corner shivering in a blanket with over your head. I mean, you're not. It's not always that visible. There are people who won't do stuff for superstitious reasons. Well, this is a really good form of superstition that we like to justify. We won't go and do this because this might happen. We won't go over here and do this because, well, it might happen. There's a difference between good sense and having fear. Well, Lord, I'd love to do that for you, but I just can't because this might happen. Well, I just don't know how to do that, and I'm afraid they'll think I'm stupid. All of you know I'm not afraid of looking stupid. I do it pretty often. Ask everyone at work. Because you cannot be afraid of anything, because what you fear controls you. And who should control you in your everyday life? The Holy Spirit, who has sent His comforter and peace to you. I like to be knowledgeable before I try something, but I do not let being scared of something stop me from doing it. It's a pretty recent revelation, but very good. What is preventing you from having that peace in your heart? What are you scared of? The economy? The Democratic Party? Scared of Washington? Are we scared of our boss? Are we scared of getting on the road, driving certain roads? Are we scared of the dark? Are we scared of a deer running out ahead of us? Let me tell you, if it's your time to go, it's your time to go. A deer's going to kill you anyway. But I do pray in the wintertime, and I drive slow, and I say, "Lord, please keep them deer off the road." And every now and again, I'll see one on the other side of the road. I say, "Oh, well, appreciate that. Save it for another day." Being fearful driving home does nothing, because you have to drive home anyway. Nothing's going to stop us here from driving home. But a couple of us may ride home with our eyes closed. Because why? We're scared. Relinquishing control of your life will alleviate that fear, because God controls my destiny. I sincerely believe it. Don't ask him right now.
No, I never did that.
No. How can you be scared? You can't see what you're doing. You have to relinquish control of your life. Give it to Jesus. Let him be the sole guide of your life. And a lot of that fear goes away. As long as you're doing the will of God, which is to learn of Him, to follow Him, and to be more like Him, there is nothing to be afraid of.
Right.
Amen. It says in Psalm 34:4, "I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." But he took some very vital steps. He sought the Lord, and the Lord heard him. He didn't seek what he could do to get out of that situation. He merely continued to seek the Lord and was delivered. Don't ever let fear control your heart. Don't give in to it and allow sin into your life. This is something that must be understood when you give up your life, you should give up your fear. Don't have a spirit of fear.